Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Romans, the 14th chapter. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Two doctrines were at stake in the opposing practices of eating or abstaining from eating meat in the early church. And it's these two: a Christian flees idolatry, and all foods are clean. False idols and false gods are really no gods. Even so, there are many who worship them. There are demons who lie behind them. Those who sacrifice to idols sacrifice to demons. And I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. This is why St. Paul says that there are many places that a Christian is not welcome, that a Christian does not eat or partake. Specifically, they ought not participate in pagan festivals and eat at their tables, even though all foods are clean. And indeed, the Lord actually wishes to bring pagans into his fellowship. The Gentiles ought to be welcomed into the faith, welcomed by the Lord through baptism, to have him become their master, to have his Holy Spirit cast out all unclean spirits and bring life in the blood of Jesus Christ. So can their food, that which was sacrificed to idols, as was the common and almost unavoidable practice, should that also be welcomed in? There is no baptism for food. So one side was bold in this question. Yes, what better way could there be to show that an idol is nothing than for Christians to thank the Lord Jesus for his gifts and eat that food? Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. The very same Paul wrote that, by the way. They were clinging to the word of God when they did so. But the other side, which Paul calls weak, was weak only in this sense: they were utterly dependent on Christ and his word, and they were aware, maybe keenly aware, of how many temptations were out there that would gladly tear them away from Christ, their master. A former Jew, for example, they have no excuse now to disdain Christian Gentiles, but there was still a lot of good reason to avoid pagan Gentiles and their ways. Likewise, a former pagan Gentile Christian had renounced a former way of life. Do they have intention now of ever returning to it again, even in appearances? No way. Flee idolatry. Do not be partakers with demons. Now, St. Paul then introduces to us a third teaching in this case. And this is the teaching that all Christians must confess. Our yes must be yes. My no must be no. It does no good for a conscience to believe one thing and then have your mouth say a different thing. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, unless you're still a son of that old liar, the devil. Inasmuch as our practices, our ceremonies, our actions, our confessions of the real truth of God's teaching, we are doing well. We ought to be looking for opportunities to confess. And we must then recognize that it is also possible for these confessions, these practices, to differ. The one who eats, as I described above, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. That's what Paul says. And the one who abstains, as I described above, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. To judge their hearts, to judge our neighbor's hearts by their actions alone would be a grave mistake. Now, to judge their actions by their own explanation of their confession and faith, that would be a very wise way to handle such a disagreement. In fact, it'd be the wisest way to try and come to a common practice, especially when it's not an individual practice, but for the whole church, and to overcome quarreling. But above both of those things, Paul teaches this today. It is not our judgment that condemns someone. We are not the masters. Christ is. Nor is it our actions that are going to cause us to stand. It is the Lord who makes each of us to stand, who upholds us and wishes to uphold us together. He has welcomed us together into his fellowship in the first place. Now, in our day, this passage is challenging to us for a different reason. Paul advocates here tolerance. And he backs it up with acknowledgments of misunderstandings, with warnings against being legalistic, with an appeal to Christ's honor and work, and that he is the master. And for us in our times, tolerance itself seems to be warring against making any kind of confession. We know a tolerance that extends way beyond the question of how can I say this? How can I hold fast to the biblical truth, to questioning whether there is a biblical truth to which anyone ought to hold fast. And we feel pressures to stifle any kind of Christian confession with such a lukewarm tolerance. And maybe we're afraid then today to hear Paul say this. Maybe he is giving ammunition to that kind of tolerance. Frankly, I'm not so impressed with the hymn choice today either. I don't have anyone else to blame. But God forbid that we would fall into that temptation. God forbid that we would give up on what? On love and on good works. And to do so just because others might have twisted love into some kind of radical tolerance. We are called here by St. Paul, by Christ himself, to humility. Together with our knowledge, whether of doctrine or of any other kind of discipline, love needs to accompany our dealings with our fellow Christians. St. Paul is not speaking here about giving love and giving in to those who have bad faith, or to those who have no faith. But he's talking about welcoming and withholding disdain or judgment from our fellow Christians, those who do have faith. He is not, by the way, saying that you shouldn't be speaking to them about this faith and talking about what we're doing. We should not be judging on the basis of things we cannot see into their hearts, looking at their actions and assuming what lies underneath them. I would actually say that this hymn is kind of aged well, at least in one place. It confesses that if we find ourselves to be victims of oppression, that we ought to forgive those who have oppressed us. That's not radical worldly tolerance. That's Christianity. That's what we're here for. That's what we've been welcomed into by our Master. So let us, suitable to our time, let us make our good confession, and let us do it without arrogance, let us do it without mere human judgments. For as Paul says just a few verses after this, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but it is of righteousness and of peace and of joy in the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.